Greetings, golf fans. Sports Guy Ty here. Episode 65 is a big one as we embark on a new journey. Shallow Cal and myself are teaming up under a new name, Playing the Tips Podcast. We'll still be bringing you our normal weekly tournament previews for the PGA Tour, along with tips, picks, and best bets as short-form, consumable content. We'll sprinkle in some DP World Tour and the occasional LPGA tip, but always winners. We get things started previewing the American Express, but not before Shallow Cal celebrates the first winner-winner fried perch dinner of 2023. Don't forget to subscribe and rate the show. Enjoy. Welcome to the American Express Preview and Tip Show. This is episode 65 of the podcast, but our first under the new name, Playing the Tips. I'm your host, Sports Guy Ty. We got plenty more to catch everyone up on, but first, joining me this week and every week is Shallow Cal. Shallow Cal, our first show since the Wyndham Championship preview on August 1st.
And I've had a couple of kids' birthdays, some holidays. It's been a while. I have been itching to get back, and I know you have too. So cheers, and hopefully this will go just as smoothly as it used to.
Yeah, absolutely. Lots of life changes. Feels kind of strange to be sitting back in this chair actually recording a podcast, because, gosh, it really has been almost five and a half months at this point. But yes, good to be back with you. Good to be doing this once again. And most importantly, good to be talking golf. But before we get into that and breaking down the American Express, we do have a little business to attend to. Carryover from the former podcast, but we are still going to be celebrating winner-winner fried perch dinner, outright first-round leader winners every single week on the show. And Shallow Cal, you start us off with the very first of 2023 at the Sony Open.
It was awesome. You know, last year I hit Kevin Na, first round leader, 45-1, which was fantastic. But then disaster hit. I was on Russell Henley last year, and that was probably, thank God I wasn't on Colin Morikawa this at the TOC, but that was probably the worst beat in sports betting that I think I've ever taken. So it was great for me to get back in the winner's circle. Actually had Siwoo and Hayden Buckley, so was kind of rooting for Hayden Buckley because I had him at twice the odds I had Siwoo at, and it would have actually been my largest monetary score for a single weekend in golf betting since first started a while back. But nonetheless, a winner is a winner, and I am not going to scoff at a 40-1 and a full place at 80-1. So big uptick in the units. Fill up those coffers for the beginning of the season, and we are ready to go.
Feels like a little bit of poetic justice after what Russell Henley did to you last year at the Sony Open, as you mentioned, to come back with not only the outright winner, but to go 1-2 with Hayden Buckley as well at 80-1. Still pretty nice place returns. As you mentioned, fill up the coffers to get things rolling in 2023. And really and truly, you got to keep carrying the show because I am now, I did go 0 for the fall swing with no outright winners. First time in 3 years, nobody in the fall. First two tournaments haven't been much better for me. Century Tournament of Champions, Sony Open, no returns either. So, Shallow Cal, I am glad that you were on Siwoo last week. Glad that you're on Hayden Buckley as well. And may need you to keep carrying the load here.
I've got to say that even though you did not have an outright, the full place of Garrett Kiggo at 500-1 might just be better than, you know, the Siwoo Kim 40-1 outright. So I would take that as a win that you had there with that Higo, 1/5 the odds. So that's, 100-1 that you're getting on that full place?
Yep. And you know what? Really and truly, the fall kind of mimicked most of my 2022 calendar year. Close but no cigar seemed to just kind of be the theme for me after hitting a boatload of winners during 2021 calendar year. Did run into a few nice places that you mentioned. Higo 500-1 in the fall. Also just missed on Cam Champ 150-1, and I had another triple place place in the fall that is just escaping me at the moment. But yeah, lots of close calls in the fall. No outright winners. But certainly time to get back on the horse here as we get a little bit deeper into 2023. Okay, before we go any further, podcast sauce, what are you drinking tonight?
So I cooked up some steaks to celebrate that Siwoo win, ribeye for myself, filet for the missus, and what better to go with a ribeye than a nice glass of red wine. I have switched over, though. I'm now on the Three Floyds Arctic Panzerwolf Imperial IPA. Three Floyds Brewery out of Munster, Indiana. A great, great brewery. And the Arctic Panzerwolf is usually only available in winter. So, got to get it while I can.
Yeah, good winter beer. What kind of red wine with that ribeye?
It was a Barolo, actually.
Okay.
Yeah. So some good tannins in there. Not too jammy. Suck that fat juice right out from inside of the mouth, and it was real great.
And, you know, for much the same reason, I've become a big Malbec guy with ribeyes. I don't always like, you know, a big bold, full-bodied cab with a steak like a ribeye, something maybe a little bit softer with a Malbec, but that can still stand up to kind of that fattier taste of the meat. Seems like a nice pair that I've been enjoying here lately.
Honestly, we could probably do a whole hour-long podcast about our taste of wine and meat. So we'll get on to the golf.
All right, we need a sponsor for that. I think that's what you're saying.
What's your podcast sauce tonight?
Well, we did a little cooking as well, a little red meat as well. Pot roast, potatoes, carrots, broccoli. No podcast sauce for me tonight because I'm actually participating in Dry January for the first time in a couple years. Thought about the coffee, but already 3 cups this morning, being off and trying to get productive and do something. So I'm just going dry tonight.
I saw this tweet and I thought it was great. It was after a devastating loss. Somebody tweeted out, I forget who it was, so I can't give credit where it's due, but that they had entered the transfer portal from dry January into wet January. So. hopefully this week will not drive you to the drinking.
I hope not. That was actually my buddy Will Bardwell of the Lying Four website and Twitter fame. Yes. Yeah, Bardwell is great. Great, awesome part of golf Twitter and that community. Old Miss boy, actually. Ran into each other in many a press boxes over the years.
Toddy toddy.
Toddy toddy. All right, so just a little bit more on the shift here. As you probably noticed, two names tonight, two voices tonight, and not three. T-Mac is not going to be moving forward with us in this new iteration of the podcast, playing the tips. However, that doesn't mean that you won't hear from him from time to time. We are going to keep a seat open. We're going to keep a seat warm for T-Mac whenever he wants to make a return appearance and throw in some long shots, some T-Mac's lottery tickets, or just sit down and wrap a little golf. Certainly going to welcome him back at any point. But Shallow Cal, you and I moving forward together under the Playing the Tips name, a little bit of a rebrand here. We're going to keep similar to what we did kind of back in the fall as we ended the podcast, short consumable content. We'll do our typical tournament previews, but we'll get right into the picks faster than we're doing tonight, riffing a little bit again as we've been off since August and bringing back the new name. But name of the game is to get people the content they need quickly and make sure that it is useful.
Right there. I love it.
And so a little bit more just in terms of what we're going to be talking about tonight is the agenda mentioned, tournament preview for the American Express. We got a 3-course overview. We will give you stats to consider, hit on a little bit of the weather as well, and then we'll jump right into tips, picks, and best bets. We will combine going forward, no more first round leader school, no more lottery tickets. We will just talk to you about, again, any of our outright tickets, any of our first round leaders, and then any of our placement bets as well, all in one segment, again, aimed at keeping this short, getting to the point, and making sure, again, that you, the listener, get the information that you're looking for, which is why we are selecting the golfers we are tipping each and every week. All right, Shallow Cal, let the folks know where they can find us.
So, new name, right? But still, you can find us on Twitter at SportsGuyTy and yours truly, Shallow Cal Golf. The all-new Playing the Tips podcast is also on Twitter at Playing Tips Pod. That's where you can find all of our cards, our bets, our Google spreadsheet that contains our bets and betting history with the P&L plus minus. You can find Playing the Tips Podcast on Google Podcast, Apple, Spotify, and Stitcher. Please download the episode, smash that like button, hit the subscribe, leave us a 5-star review, a little note. We'll read it on the next episode. Gonna miss the Right Click Print Money podcast. It was great. I would give you my favorite memory from the Right Click Print Money, but most of the time it was after league night in golfing, and I was pretty wasted. So I'm not really sure what the favorite memory was. But, you know, honestly, it's getting to talk to a couple of old friends about a sport I love and we all love and cherish. What about you, Ty? You have any good memories from Right Click Print Money Pod?
Yeah, much the same. I mean, that's what kind of got us into doing all this together, right? You and T-Mac and I 3 years ago, just kind of in the throes of COVID and looking for something to bide our time a little bit. And Right Click Print Money was kind of born overnight out of some crazy conversation and really became something that I look forward to every week, getting to talk to both of you. And you know, certainly didn't hurt that we had a pretty tremendous run there coming right out of the gates early in 2020, I should say, early into 2021. And, you know, I could name any one of the winners. Cam Davis, 150-1 was a lot of fun. You know, certainly getting together with both of you the week of 4th of July to talk about that one. We've had a pretty good run, but really and truly just the opportunity to get together and talk golf each and every week, which is what we're going to continue to do here with Playing the Tips. And again, get to just kind of carry forward what we love to do.
Yep, I agree 100%.
All right, well, let's not waste any more time then. Let's just jump right into it. Tournament preview for the American Express. This is the 64th time we're going to be playing this tournament. Formerly the Desert Classic, the Career Builder Challenge, and probably most famously the Bob Hope Classic. We are in the Coachella Valley, a return to the mainland after a 2-week Hawaiian swing. This is Desert Resort Golf on 3 courses. 156-man field. We're going to be playing with a pro-am across the stadium course, the tournament course, and La Quinta Country Club. Probably, Shallow Cal, our best field of the entire 2023 season, not just the calendar year, outside of Tournament of Champions. You got 10 of the top 20 players in the world here, led by PGA Tour Player of the Year, Scottie Scheffler. Really looking forward to this field.
I absolutely 100% agree. I'll touch a little bit more on that later with my picks, which are a little bit higher up the odds boards and not too many long shots. But, man, after watching the TOC and then, you know, a little bit of a breather week, although, you know, still some great golf for me because I, you know, had that Sunday sweat with the two guys going. I'm super stoked about the field. I can't wait. It's anytime you get that many of the top 20 players, it's going to be a fun fun weekend.
In terms of format, this is one of two remaining pro-ams on the PGA Tour. You also have the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am. 54-hole pro-am portion of the tournament on all three courses, Thursday through Saturday. Each foursome, typical of a pro-am, is going to include two pros and two amateurs. Each amateur will be assigned one of the pros for the day. Pro-Am division actually ends after Saturday's play for most players. However, the three low gross and three low net amateurs will actually continue on and play Sunday with the rest of the pros who make the cut. When the low 70 pros and ties from the first 3 days of the event continue on to the stadium course at PGA West, circle back around for that fourth round again, which will repeat at the TPC stadium course. Former winners in the field this week, John Rahm, Brian Gay, Andrew Landry, and Adam Long. Unfortunately, Shallow Cal, no Hudson Swafford. Your boy, 150-1 winner for you here last year. Applying his trade elsewhere these days.
Yeah. Are we allowed to talk about that, or are we going to get banned from, from the talking PGA Tour, if we talk about the old Live Tour?
Listen, I don't want to have to take down any videos now.
Exactly. that was a wild one, man. I mean, you've hit a 150-1 winner. Hitting that was just absolutely fantastic, but I don't see that happening this week. I think we're up high on the odds board this week.
We'll get into that a bit more as we start talking some of our picks. But 150-1 last year for Shallow Cal, certainly a nice number. Absolute birdie binge for Swafford on the back nine and route to a Sunday 64 that took it down. Yeah. Birdied 10, 11, 12, and 14. Eagle on 16 after sticking the approach to 8 feet. Really just an incredible Sunday from Hudson.
And he was T3. Coming into it, and I believe I had him and HV3, and then at one point in the tournament, Hudson was, I think, maybe two or three strokes back of HV3, and HV3 had an absolute meltdown, like at the turn, maybe, and just completely fell. I mean, he fell out of place money, even. If I remember correctly. And then Hudson Swafford, like you said, completely turned it around and had the birdie binge and the eagle. And it was just like, wow, I went from HV3, flipped it with Hudson, and now we're back in business, baby.
Yep. And that was the second time Hudson Swafford had taken down this tournament. Also won in 2017. A little bit different at that point, was playing a little bit better golf, much closer to the top end of the odds boards. I want to say he was mid 30s or so, possibly as low as 40, or as high as 40 in 2017. But yes, came a little bit out of left field last year, as has been typical for this tournament in recent iterations. 150-1. Been a pretty good tournament overall through the years for both of us. In 2021, I got things started with a outright ticket here at the Amex, 50-1 when he won at 23 under. Before that, Andrew Landry in 2020, Adam Long, another long shot winner in 2019, John Rahm, your most recent favorite to take down the tournament in 2018 at 22 under, as mentioned, Hudson Swafford's first win in 2017, and then Jason Duffner in 2016, Bill Haas in 2015, and Patrick Reed in 2014 with a tournament record 28 under par. All right, Shallow Cal, let's talk some course vitals. We got three to get through this week, three course rotation for the Pro-Am. Why don't you start us off with the stadium course at PGA West?
Yeah, Pete Dye course, desert resort course, like you've said, par 72, almost 7,200 yards. Your Bermuda grass greens, however, that's dormant, so you're really going to see more of that Poa trivialis come into play. These greens are slow, man. These are some of the slowest greens on tour. I think it's one or two on tour in putts made from 10 to 15 feet, percentage wise. The rough is not much. It's going to be Bermuda, a couple of inches, not very penal. Your fairways, Bermuda grass, your typical Pete Dye second shot golf course. The one thing that you got to watch out for here, the bunkers. This plays as one of the hardest courses if you're in the bunkers and find yourself in that trouble. Otherwise, there's not much. There is water on seven of the holes, but that you have to avoid. But everything else is pretty much easy. It's easy around the green. It's you know, easy greens to put on, easy greens to hold. You're not going to see balls rocketing off these greens like you might at some of the other desert courses that we will see. It really is just it is what it is, man. Pete Dye Classic. Your bunkers, a little bit of water, and second shots.
Historically, this has been the most difficult of the three courses in this tournament since they've made the move to play in the stadium course and pairing it with the tournament course or Nicklaus course at PGA West. Wasn't the case last year. Nicklaus actually played a hair tougher than the stadium course. But this is typically, again, where we see a lot of the test for both the pros and the amateurs, as much as it can be with a pro-am setup that is really focused on making sure a lot of these amateurs can make it through the rounds. But again, very relative because all three courses do tend to rank among the easiest on tour year in and year out. Again, this is resort style golf. We are playing a pro-am, and this is not the pro-am field that we're used to seeing at Pebble Beach, where you have guys like Bill Murray and, you know, some guys who are definitely some clowns out there, but can play a little golf. You know, these are a lot of corporate sponsors, guys playing because, you know, their business is putting them forward, et cetera. So these are going to be long, slow rounds on all three courses, all three set up to kind of cater to that, again, that setup. For consideration, a few Pete Dye courses on tour: Harbortown, the Ocean Course at Kiawa, Straits Course at Whistling Straight, of course, TPC Sawgrass, which is known as the sister course to the stadium course here, and TPC River Highlands. All right, course number two, the tournament course, also known as the Nicklaus Course at PGA West. Designed in 1987 by Jack Nicklaus. We got another par 72 here, again on the shorter side, 7,147 yards. In terms of the greens, very similar to what Shallow Cal mentioned. We do have Tiff Dwarf Bermuda grass, but this time of year it is still heavy with the overseed of the Poa Trivialis. And so again, not your typical Bermuda grass maybe that we're used to seeing in the southern United States. This is going to be a little bit bumpier, a little bit grainier, much more so kind of that early season West Coast grass. Greens are going to run even traditionally a little slower than the stadium course, around a 10.5 or so on the stimp. So shouldn't be a whole lot of trouble there. Like the stadium course as well, a lot of bunkering to be mindful of here. For consideration, a couple Nicklaus courses on tour: Muirfield, the Greenbrier, Valhalla in Louisville, Sherwood Country Club, and the Concession. All right, before we talk stats to consider and weather to wrap before picks, run us through quickly, Shallow Cal, the course fighters for La Quinta Country Club.
La Quinta, I mean, all three of these courses are pretty similar. You know, you're really not differentiating too much between the three here. Like you said, birdie fest conditions, easy to get at. A short par 72 at La Quinta with 7,060 yards. Greens, Bermuda grass with the rye and the poa overseed. Stimp right around 11 again. The only really difference, this one, you know, you're gonna be going into those postage stamp sized greens. So got to be accurate with your approaches here, and they're about 4,000 square feet. La Quinta, you know, everybody's going to get around there. I wouldn't make any adjustments to your field based off of one course more than the other. They're all very similar, and have, you know, very similar putting surfaces, etc.
Yeah, it's always difficult to handicap a multi-course field, particularly when you have three courses in play, like we're seeing here. Made still even tougher by the fact that we actually only have shot link data on one of the three courses, which is the stadium course. So as we get into talking stats to consider here, do keep that in mind. It is handy that we're playing two of the four rounds on the stadium course for those who do advance to Sunday. But again, just kind of another little bit of a curveball to watch out for this week as you're looking at a lot of those strokes gain stats and a lot of the traditional shot link data. We do only have that for one of the three courses. All right, let me start off quickly with my stats to consider. I'm looking primarily at strokes gained tee to green. This is a Pete Dye course, as mentioned, with a lot of angles. Again, playing twice at the stadium course. It does require players to be good throughout the bag, and five of the last six winners have been inside the top 15 for that metric during the week. Siwoo was number one when he won it in 2021. Sticking with that theme, again, two rounds on the Pete Dye course, strokes gained approach. This is, again, a second shot golf course, as Shallow Cal has mentioned, smaller screens in the three courses, particularly La Quinta, got to have those irons dialed. What we've seen over the years, typically, again, resort style golf that is set up for amateurs to compete on. So a bunch of birdies, very interested in opportunities gained. All three courses, again, are among the easiest on tour. Average winning score to par is almost 24 under. So you got to go low to contend. And then just kind of finally, I'll throw out good drives gained. Distance doesn't do much for you here unless you can pair it with accuracy. And then I do see a little bit of an advantage for, again, that total driving for players that have the complete package there. Otherwise, it's not as much of a separating factor. Wouldn't completely over binge on the driving piece of it again, unless you're really looking toward good drives gained or strokes gained total driving. All right, Shadow Cal, where are you going for stats to consider this week?
So I like a lot of that, you know, tee to green approach, obviously. I'm going to go to birdies or better gained. I think that, obviously, birdie fest, you need your birdies. Next, I would like to touch on the approach from 150 to 175 yard range. There will be a lot of those yardage shots in here. A few certain number of my guys are going to be great in that area. And that is going to lead to a lot of, hopefully, opportunities gained, like you said, Ty, with putts that are going to be close in proximity from that area and knocking them down. I also went and did putting last 36 on slow greens. I think that putting here, like John Rahm said last year, the fucking putting contest set up, piece of shit, whatever, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, you're putting. And I went specifically a little bit further also into a different one and putting from 10 to 15 feet, because I think we are going to have a lot of those 10 to 15 footers for birdie and eagle here. And this is going to give that opportunity to score.
No doubt about it. We shouldn't really be impacted by the weather this week. This is the Coachella Valley in Southern California, just a beautiful part of the country. It is going to be seasonally cool, per typical for the Amex in mid-January. You got daytime highs in the mid-60s Thursday through Sunday. Lows are going to dip into the high 30s most nights, but we should have plenty of sunshine during the day's competition and almost no chance of rain. Did get a little bit of wind last year as the weekend, as we kind of turned to Saturday, but wind looks like it's going to be minimal for all 4 days here, so nothing major to consider in way of the weather. All right, Shallow Cal, you ready to make some picks?
Yes, sir.
All right, we're taking a little bit of a different approach to both of our cards this time around. We'll get into that here in just a moment. But because neither one of us started too high at the top of the board, both begin our cards in the 20s. Anybody you looked at or you considered, Shallow Cal, at the top or near the top of the odds board?
Yeah, I mean, I wanted to see obviously that first look. Where's John Rahm opening up, you know, on those odds boards? And I believe it opened up at a robust 550 or 600 on Bet Rivers. Around 600 or 700 was the best that you could get anywhere else. I mean, this dude is just a strokes gain machine. He's in my eyes, him and Rory are head and shoulders better than anybody else in the world. And Rory ain't playing this week. So I wanted to see where Rahm was at. I even went so far as to try to parlay a Rahm outright with an NFL playoff game this coming weekend to see if I could get those odds up quite a bit higher, but ultimately stayed away. I mean, Finau models well. All the guys at the top are really deserving to be there. The one guy that I did not bet on that I probably, well, there's two of them, and they're both Koreans, Sung Jae and Tom Kim. They both model extremely well. They both have been playing great golf, except for at the TOC, or not the TOC, I'm sorry, last week at Sony, where they both just absolutely bombed out and missed the cut. So I'm just going to dodge those guys this week. Yeah, it may come back to bite me in the ass. You got any of those FOMO picks that you just skipped over?
I've got several. I'll get into a few of them as I talk about the card. One or two of them shows up on your card as well. In terms of top of the board, though, I learned my lesson last week with Tom Kim at 1150 with 3 points win only. I'm staying away from favorites. I could very easily sit here and make a case for really anybody at the top of the board, just like you did with John Rahm. You know, his last three, he's no worse than eighth place finish with two wins. Really just looks like he's going to be a man on a mission in 2023. Scotty Scheffler, obviously your reigning PGA Tour Player of the Year. He's got all kinds of distance and a little bit of accuracy here. He could really, really score well. Patrick Cantlay has an incredible record without a win here. Zalatoris, you know, the back issues aside, had a sixth place finish here last year and just profiles really well for this course. But again, me this week, I'm staying a little bit further away from the top of the odds boards, just looking to maximize a bit more value on down the line. All right, let's do this. Go ahead and read your card first, Shallow Cal. Give us your structure, give us your picks and the odds. I'll do the same, and then we'll get into actually talking about a few of the individual golfers to wrap it up.
So, you know, I've always been with the points and the units and betting that way. I'm still going to keep, you know, track of my units and the plus minus and everything. But I want to give people a little bit more of something that's more digestible, a little bit easier to understand, a little bit something that's there, that's more relatable for them. So my typical output is 10 to 12 units per week. When I get a little bit crazy and go first round leaders, you know, sometimes it gets a little bit more. I like to do the, so my unit $5. So I just want to go ahead and, you know, $50 this week. How am I spending my $50? Well, I'm in that 20 to 45 range. And I split it up evenly amongst everybody. We're going to go $5 each way, which means $10 total bet on each of these five guys for $50 total. It's something that it's easy to manage. You know, hop on there, deposit $50 if you want to follow the tips. You want to deposit $10, do that. But this is how I'm going to spend my $50 this weekend. I got Xander, 22-1. Cam Young, 22-1 as well. Old Sam Bermuda Burns, 33-1. See, woo, Cam at 40-1. Can't take that chip off the table, right? And Tom Hoagie, 45-1 as well. So $5 each way for $10 total bet on each of those five players.
All right, I'm sticking with a traditional units-based card, as I did most of the last 3 years. I'll be typically around that 12-point total card each week. I went a little bit higher than that this week, 13 total points. I am starting with Sung J.M. at the top of my card. I'm going 1.5 points each way at 22-1. Follow that up by joining you on the Siwoo Kim bandwagon.
Is that a late ad?
No, that's that was one of my first clicks.
Nice. Love
yeah,
it.
Yeah. Had a hard time. I mean, shoot, as I mentioned, I hit Siwoo here in 2021. He was going to absolutely be on my card prior to the win last week. I got a little nervous after that because he's newly married. Now he's got the win. Not sure how focused he's going to be coming into this week, but also could very, very well see Siwoo just going on an absolute heater from here on out. So I like it. I like that number a lot. 1 point each way, Aaron Wise, 50-1. Grabbed a great number on Cam Davis, 66-1. Joel Damon, a little bit longer play at 90-1. Then I wrap my card with 1 point each way on David Lipsky at 100-1. All right, let's bounce around a little bit. Again, we will try and keep this a bit condensed, but let's start with the one player who's on both of our cards this week. We've already touched on them a little bit. Champion from last week at the Sony Open, 2 years ago, defending champion at the American Express. Siwoo Kim, 40-1. You mentioned you can't take your chip off, but what else entices you about Siwoo at the Amex?
I don't think there's been a tournament that Siwoo Kim has played on a Pete Dye course that I haven't bet him. You talked about horses for courses. I mean, geez, the Siwoo Kim to Pete Dye, it's like peanut butter and jelly, baby. It just works. He's won here before. He was dialed in last week. Even when you thought, oh, shit, here comes the eight. Here comes the nine. Here comes Siwoo doing Siwoo things. Nope. He hunkered down. He played his game, and he finished off that tournament. And, yeah, he probably would have won that tournament by 5 or 6 strokes had he putted better. I mean, this dude was missing putts from 10 feet and inside 15 feet. Like, it was his job. And it makes me a little bit nervous going into this putting contest. However, these greens are going to be a lot easier, a lot more approachable. They got the pro-am part of it. So, I mean, just overall, this fits the profile for a 40-1. You can't ask for much better than that.
Yeah, I think I heard somewhere that Siwoo is the first player maybe in the last 3 years to win a tournament with less than a stroke and a half gained on the field putting. So it truly was a ball striking display this past week. Really, really good. And you know, his putting's been better of late ever since he's gone to the broomstick putter. As you mentioned, didn't show up as much at the Sony Open, but he has been trending in the right direction. So I lean more into that piece of it as well. I just look at how well he played throughout his bag last week at the Sony Open. And if he finds any kind of putter this week on the Pete Dye courses, I think that Siwoo is very live to go back to back. And honestly, a little shocked that he was as high as 40-1 when he opened on Bet Rivers today.
I was shocked, and that was in fact my first click when I saw the odds.
Yeah, first in this field in strokes gained total on the stadium course, which is 9 rounds played here. Truly a horse for the course, so was very happy to get behind that number as well. All right, let's jump back up to the top of the odds board. 3 total selections among us at 22-1. Start with your 2 plays at 22-1.
All right, I'll go with one of the players that I think is, I think he's on that next tier, just below Rahm and Rory, and that's Xander Schauffele. Incredible approach play, great off the tee, up there. Birdies are better. I mean, approach from 150 to 175, the key yardage here, great. Ranked third in my model, 22-1. Sign me up for Xander. He checks all the boxes. Get him in a relaxed feel event, and I think he can. His putter, the past few years he's been a great putter. Put him on this, and he gets a hot putter. Watch out.
I've been having a hard time getting behind Xander only because of the back injury and the withdrawal at the Tournament of Champions. But here's what I keep coming back to. First of all, our favorite saying, right? Beware the injured golfer. I got to believe that if he is trotting himself out there at this tournament, the back's got to be in pretty good shape at this point, because this is not a tournament that you have to play. Yes, it is, I think, technically considered one of, is actually, I'm not sure about that. Is this considered one of the elevated events this year on tour?
I don't believe so. I think the purse is only $8 million, but I could be completely wrong.
No, I think you're right. Because that's kind of where I was going with this. I don't believe this is an event you have to play. And no. So, again, in the Coachella Valley in mid-January, it's going to be cold in the mornings. I mean, we're talking sweater weather, pants, obviously. And so I just can't imagine, he's going to go out there and have any possibility of that back tightening up on him unless he felt like he was in a really good place. So I stayed away from Xander. I couldn't believe, honestly, the 22 number when I saw that you grabbed it. I really like that. I couldn't, as mentioned, get behind it quite there with the injury, but I gotta believe he's back feeling good again.
Well, he grew up here. He literally grew up here playing in this weather. I don't want to say hometown guy, because he was born in San Diego, probably what, 45 minutes or an hour or so away. But, that's like me saying, me coming to play an event in Detroit, or you coming to play an event in Detroit. Nah, we weren't necessarily born in, you might have been born in Detroit, but, it's a hometown event without being a hometown event. And I think he'll show well.
Definitely. All right. Well, let me actually jump in then quick on my 22. We'll come back to you for your second. This is as far as I go up the odds board as well, but I'm on Sung J M, a point and a half each way. I think he's going to be popular this week, despite the missed cut last week. He's played this event four times. He's made the cut all four, finishing no worse than 12th. Sony Open has never really been his jam. This is now back-to-back missed cuts, and then finished 56th in the Sony before that in 2021. Those Bermuda greens have really given him a lot of trouble, and they're more a typical Bermuda, which Sungjae actually has struggled on of late. So I do think that getting back on kind of the overseed with a little Poe mixed in, slow it down a little bit, is going to help him. But he's been on a really good recent run aside from the Sony. Played a little golf in December. He was 8th at the Hero World, 13th at the Century Tournament of Champions. So I'm not worried about his form at all. Been really good on the stadium course in 9 rounds, particularly strokes gained, total putting, and then short game. And then Sungjae just makes a bunch of birdies. He led the PGA Tour in total birdies for 3 straight years, 2019, 2020, and 2021. Of course, he did play a ton of golf during that stretch, kind of what he had become known for. But he's always been a prolific birdie maker, so somebody that I can certainly get behind, not scared off by the missed cut last week.
Sure.
Nope. All right, you went a different direction. Your second 22.
Cameron Young. My, what a difference a year makes. Last year, Cam Young was coming into this tournament with odds greater than 300-1.
Gosh,
isn't that incredible? And yet here we are, 22-1, Cam Young, and he didn't even win a freaking tournament. Well, I mean, what is going on? Anyways, the reason that I love Cam Young, and I love his game, it's not because he's great on one specific type of course. He's great on a lot of different setups, a lot of different courses. lot of different things that play to his strengths and whatnot. He was T3 here last year entering the final round, and he blew up in the final round and killed his chances. But you know who else was T3 entering the final round last year? The winner, Hudson Swafford. So he could have very well gotten that first W. I'm hoping that he can do it this year. The ball striking, the ability to score, and chance to get an incredibly hot putter, that's where I am this week with him. Not to mention his approach from 150 to 175 is one of the top in the field this week. So Cam Young, 22-1. Love it. Love the bet. Give me a first win here, baby.
Yeah, I love the player. Definitely love the tournament for him as well. A couple mid-range guys for me, and then we'll bounce back to you for your 30s. I'm going Aaron Wise first at 50-1. You don't necessarily need great course history here. It helps, but excluding the majors outside of Augusta and other courses that make infrequent appearances on the PGA Tour, these three courses actually rank in the bottom third of Data Golf's course history tool. So not overly important. Three straight missed cuts here for Aaron Wise. He does have a T17 in 2018, so I'm actually more interested in the fact that he's just played the course a bunch. I do think it models well for him once it all kind of clicks, and so I'm not, again, as worried about kind of his performance to date at the course. Really found something since he's gone to the broomstick putter, 15th in this field for strokes gained putting the last 50 rounds. And that was a part of his game that was really just in shambles the last 2 years. So he starts to turn that around. And I think we could see a streak of several wins, in 2023. Really good on Nicklaus courses. He's 11th in strokes gained total in this field, all rounds. Also a guy who's proven he can go low. His first and only win on tour came during his 2018 Rookie of the Year season at the AT&T Byron Nelson. First year it moved to Trinity Forest. He won there at 23 under. And then lastly, but perhaps most importantly, he did play last week. I've only got one player on the card this week who's making their season debut at the Amex. Otherwise, it does portend to that players who have played either in the Tournament of Champions or Sony Open tend to do well here. Aaron Wise whipped the top last week at Sony. Quickly, Cam Davis grabbed a great number here. Really a number that just struck me as very wrong when I saw it. 66-1, so I'm on him 1 point each way. He's now down to 40 or 45 at most books, which really it truly feels like a better number on Cam Davis. I was on him at 35-1 last week, so I'm more than happy to essentially double those odds this week. Second in this field in strokes gained total on the stadium course over seven rounds. He's very good on Pete Dye courses in general. Ranks 12th in this field for strokes gained total on all Dye courses and has played 33 rounds, so a pretty good sample size there. He's made the cut in all three tries at the Amex, no worse than T29 and a best of third here in 2021. Big concern for me with Cam Davis is he's got to find the driver. Ranks just 132nd in this field and good drives gained. Not imperative here, as I mentioned in my stats, to consider that that you have the big-time driver, but it does help on a resort course when scoring is needed. All right, back to you, Shallow Cal, for your 33-1.
Mr. Bermuda Burns. Is he still a good putter? I thought he was, right? But we shall see. Approach play is good. Off the tee, excellent. I like the 33, honestly. The number was one of the main reasons that I bet him. He did model well for me. But I think he's a talented golfer that just kind of he hit a little bit of a slump, and I think he's going to come back in 2023 and he's going to play very, very well. And I'm hoping that he makes a big push. If he's not already on the Ryder Cup team, I hope we see him on the Ryder Cup team in Italy.
Yeah, I think it'd be interesting for sure.
So, yeah, Sam Burns, 33. Like I said, next guy, Siwoo Kim. We touched on that, 40-1, course horse, love it. The next and last one that I have, 45-1, motherfucking Tom Hoagie. Loves these kind of courses. He's finished top 15 here multiple times. And what is the one thing that you say about all Pete Dye courses? Second shot courses. Approach, approach, approach. What is the strongest part of this guy's game? Approach. Get this man an iron in his hands, and he is deadly. 45-1, Hollywood Hoagie. Let's roll, baby.
I have wasted so much money on Tom Hoagie the last 6 months. I've won some money on Tom Hoagie the last 6 months as well, but I have wasted a ton of money on him. And since I had already gone back to the well on Cam Davis, I couldn't add a second of the same ilk to my card, but I did think hard about it. He was one of the very last cuts from making my card. Really want to go back to the well. I'm just not there.
I feel you, and honestly, I haven't bet very much on Tom Hoagie, so we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, like I said, I wanted to get there, and he's obviously performed here, and he's had a great run in the fall. So we'll see. Wouldn't surprise me at all to see him come and really come to play this week. All right, let me wrap us up then with my two longer plays here. First, 1 point each way on Joel Damon at 90-1. The one player, as I mentioned in my card, who hasn't played yet in the calendar year of 2023, which would be bucking a serious trend. I believe it's now 14 of the last 15 winners at the Amex played either the Century Tournament of the Champions or the Sony Open. So going a little bit of different direction there, but I really like this play. Three missed cuts in three tries here, but like I said, not overly concerned with course history. The fact that he's played it three times is more important to me, and he profiles really well here for the Coachella Valley. Can certainly win on resort courses. Won at the Corrales Punta Cana Championship down at Corrales Golf Club. Strangely, it was actually a difficult year for that tournament. He won it at only 12 under because of weather on that resort course, but certainly can play to those settings. Heater through the fall, particularly the back half of it. Damon's made 5 of 6 cuts. His only missed was the first event of the year at the Fortinet. He closed November going T3, T9, and then T5 at the multi-course rotational RSM Classic. Last 24 rounds, he is top 10 in good drives gained, greens and regulation, and opportunities gained. Makes a bunch of birdies, particularly as of last season, and can go low. Fifth on tour in scoring average this season, 20th in total birdies. Then I wrap with David Lipsky, 1 point each way, 100-1. Really wanted to be on him last week at 125-1. He did wind up cashing the full each way. It came down to him and David Lingmuth for me. I am certain I'm going to have that reversed. I was on Lingmuth last week, and now I'm pivoting to Lipsky, and I am certain that Lingmuth is going to have a week this week and hit that triple-digit cash. But we're going to try with David. Really good tee to green game on display last week at Wailea, as mentioned, for that top five finish. 19th in this field, his last 50 rounds in tee to green, 13th in approach. Guy hits a bunch of fairways, 18th in good drives, which then in turn leads to a bunch of green in regulation, 20th in this field. And he also needs the putter to get hot as well. Everything else kind of ticks those boxes, but one piece that's been holding him back. And so if he can get that rolling a bit, I really like him. He was 14th here last year in his only appearance, but did play the qualifying tournament for the PGA Tour here back in 2012. And finally, a little bit of win equity. He's kind of an older hat on the European Tour, where he's played a lot of his professional golf along with the Asian Tour. Winner of the 2014 Omega European Masters, got to minus 18 there. Also won the Alfred Dunhill Championship. Two wins on the Asian Tour and a Big Ten Championship for the Northwestern Fightin' Wildcats. David Lipsky, 100-1. No Ricky Fowler for you this week, Shallow Cal?
Nah, man. I don't believe it until I see it. that swing looked so nice and great, but Was it ever really the swing, or is it what was between the ears? You know, I'm not really sold. Did you actually consider him?
I thought hard about him. I had Ricky pegged at 80-1, which is exactly where he dropped, and I think where he's pretty much stayed since odds came out. I think it's a little bit of both, the swing and between the ears. He's back with his boy Butch Harmon, which is going to go a long way. He's got a new caddy, his friend, and a longtime looper out on tour, Ricky Romano. New clubs, left the old Cobra Blades behind, been playing a more forgiving cavity back King Tour prototype. So I kind of like what I'm seeing in the little glimpses we get here on social media of the swing, what people close to Ricky Fowler are saying about him. Everything just kind of seems to be working right now. And as you mentioned, you know, that swing looks beautiful. It really always has. But he's got a little bit of a steeper arm angle, a little bit more efficient. I think we're going to finally see the breakthrough for Ricky where he gets back in the winner's circle this year. Don't know that it's here. Wouldn't surprise me if he contends. He does tend to go well in the desert. He's won the Abu Dhabi HSBC Championship, obviously a winner in Phoenix at the Waste Management Phoenix Open. But I'm kind of with you. Just kind of need to see it one time before I pull the trigger.
Yeah. I'm very interested to see the success with the cavity back irons. I know it's like, oh my God, what are you doing? You know, you're a professional golfer. You should be playing blades, yada, yada, yada. But I mean, if it's not working, it's not working. You got to make a change, right?
Right.
So
whatever works, man.
Yeah. So I'm very interested to see. I like Ricky. I think Ricky is great for the tour. The charismatic energy, the look, the flamboyant behavior and clothing. I love it. It brings in people that normally wouldn't watch golf. So Ricky, I hope you play well, man. But I just can't bet you yet. Not yet.
I'm right there with you. All right, we are way over our promised 30 minutes for this podcast. It won't be like this every week. This is our first show since early August, so we had a lot of catching up to do. This is also a three-course multi-rotational tournament, so a little bit more time breaking things down there. We are going to get back to hitting that kind of 30 to 35-minute sweet spot each and every week from here on out. Wanted to spend a little time riffing again this week because we're glad to be back, glad to be bringing you tips, picks, and all of our best bets each and every week. But Shallow Cal, that's going to wrap it for episode 65 and the first under Playing the Tips. Always a pleasure, my friend.
Absolutely. Next week, I can't wait to do a recap of this tournament. And I will be in beautiful Florida playing golf next week. So get ready, baby.
Sunshine State.
That's right.
All right. Cheers, brother.
Cheers.